Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, president of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Today, we have a very exciting and different kind of show. We're not going to talk about industry jargon. We're not going to talk about investments. We're not going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk to one of the top business consultants in the United States, based here in Northern California and in Brooklyn, New York. Very exciting, Sean Perlmutter, A Pivotal Twist. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me, Elliot. It's really a pleasure to be here and actually an honor. I've been watching how you and Prosperity Financial have been doing, and I'm really pleased to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. So the title is Building a Platform of Thought Leaders. So let me ask you a question to begin with, Sean. We've got in this, the title here, we've got platform, we've got thought leaders, we've got the word leadership, got lots of industry or not industry word, but business words in there. What do they mean?
Okay, so thank you for asking. A platform, just like the metaphor itself, is something that raises you above everybody else. So when you are an author and you've got a new book coming out, frequently your publisher is going to say, well, tell me about your platform. Do you have a platform? And what they're asking you is, do you have social media? Do you have followers? Do you have subscribers to your newsletter? Do you have a following? Do you have people that you are already speaking to? Why do they want to know this? Well, of course, the publisher wants to sell books. So if they are working with a client that already has an audience built in, they see it from the marketing point of view as something that's beneficial. A thought leader is somebody that has an idea or ideas, a certain perspective on something that is singular and worth sharing with others. Typically, thought leaders write books because they want to be able to say, I wrote the book on XYZ. So I help build platforms for thought leaders.
Okay. And I assume that's what Pivotal Twist does. They work with people like myself that own a company, trying to be leaders in an industry where we're writers, we're readers, we're creative, we're on radio, and you turn me into a brand of some kind. Is that right?
That is partially correct. Yes. We help emerging leaders and organizations drive the change that impacts their fortune. And the way that we do that is twofold. So my company has myself and a partner at the helm. And I work on the consulting side in building these platforms for emerging leaders. They tend to be thought leaders or business owners. And I help them with digital marketing, branding, and strategy. But there's another side to my company too. We also do coaching and training for corporate clients. So that means we can help with developing your presentation skills or applying emotional intelligence as a leader, or using storytelling in the way you communicate. So between the two of those, we really like to work with emerging leaders, those people who are focused on growth for themselves and for their organization.
Great. So we live, Sean, in a world that is very different today than it was 36 months ago. Zoom is, as the word Zoom is just like the word Kleenex. It's that popular right now. Whether it's Cisco or Zoom, it doesn't matter. We're Zooming. It's like we're wiping our nose with a Kleenex, not just a tissue. And so we've gotten more digital. Facebook has more power and branding behind it than ever before. LinkedIn has more power and branding than ever before. There hopefully will be competitors to both of those companies in years to come, but they are both the 800-pound gorillas. Instagram is owned by Facebook and is knocking at the door of everybody. And we'll forget the other small players like Parler and so forth. But just those two or those three that I just mentioned are very different than a world of Simon & Schuster and getting on two or three radio stations or TV stations. Everything is so fluid and changing. I can't keep up. How does a business owner keep up? How do you keep up? And what's hot and what's not?
That is a really great question. You've got plenty of them, Elliot. I already notice. Look, here's the deal. When you are a leader, when you're leading your organization, your business, or if you're a thought leader and you're going to be sharing your ideas with the public, you need to have a way to do that. You need media. Media literally means the thing between you and your audience. Media is always changing given technology. So yes, we're seeing Facebook and LinkedIn as the 800-pound gorillas, but guess what? There's always startups, and we can go ahead and call them upstarts, who are knocking at their door. And if you want to make an impact, would you rather play in a field with 80,000 people in it, or would you rather play in a smaller field with a few thousand people in it, and you be the big fish in a small pond? These are some of the questions that we tackle when we are working with people on their brand and on their strategy, because we want them to be positioned as those that will stand out above the crowd. You know, there's games that we can play with Facebook and LinkedIn. There's always certain tools that we can use to get you more visibility. And that's important and great. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that you've got an audience that just loves you and wants to see everything that you've got to see and share, because that will then equate to greater growth in your progress.
So if you're trying to brand me, or you're trying to brand a company, I'm a service company, I'm not a widget company or a product company. Do I have to be all over social media to be branded?
You do not. You do not have to be all over social media. The most important part of the spirit of the question that you're asking is, where are my people? Where is my audience? Where are my prospects and my clients? If they are on social media, great, then you should be on social media too. If they're on one particular platform in social media, then you really only have to focus on that one platform. To take the other side of the argument, Elliot, if you try to be all things to all people, you end up being nothing to no one, right? So if you're trying to put your hat in every single ring there is, if you're trying to have a presence on every social media platform there is, you're going to end up diluting what you can do, and you'll have wasted money and time to do it.
I know I'm in the financial services industry, and like many other industries, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, or a widget maker. You know, if I made a unique product, that would be different. But for many of us, we are ourselves trying to be very unique in what has become a very convoluted, muddy world where it's very hard to differentiate yourself now. So what does a branding company like you, a platform company like you do to help firms like mine, whether it be a product or service, differentiate ourselves with our message?
Okay, that's a very important question. The first part of the answer is there's not a whole lot that I can do to impose singularity on you. This has to come from the business itself, and certainly it behooves the business owner to find their positioning. If I can use a little business jargon, your positioning is what makes you unique. Your unique selling proposition, if you want to use the acronym USP. So I have come to clients and said, you don't really have very strong positioning right now, and here are some ideas that you can use, but it is up to the business then to implement those and make them a part of their DNA. I can't do that from outside. It has to come from the inside out. The other half of the question, though, is when you have your singularity, when you're able to enunciate what makes you different than the competition, now it is easier for us to support that point and for us to point to that point so that other people can recognize it and make their business decisions based on it.
Okay, and as a CEO of an organization, I know you do coaching and training. I've always felt that CEOs need a good quality coach. They need to be educated. For people like me, I'm fortunate. I'm a voracious reader, trying to get smarter and smarter every day, learn what I could do better, learn what everybody else is doing better. I'm never going to be your expert on a Facebook. I hire people to do that, but I want to get smarter. How do I look for a coach? What am I looking for in a coach? And what differentiates you as a coach and Pivotal Twist from, again, a very crowded world of business consultants and coaches, where the joke is you want to know what a business consultant is or a coach is, give him your watch, ask him what time, he'll tell you what time it is.
True. And the first thing I would say is ask for referrals. there are a lot of coaches out there, not as many training companies. And I delineate the two, by the way, as coaching is one-to-one and training is one-to-some. If you can hear from somebody that you respect that they worked with a coach that they really liked, that goes a mile. If people learn about Pivotal Twist and my company through you and this video segment, that at least gives you a leg up besides, because you're not going to want to look for coaches through Yelp, for goodness sake, not at all. The other part to your question is, what do you look for in a coach? And what do we bring, Pivotal Twist, what do we bring to the table as coaches that makes it different? So it's important to know what you're looking for in a coach. One of the things to consider is an executive coach is going to help you to achieve your goals. An executive coach works more like a servant leader. So they lead by being in service of you, the client. And what that means is we're going to find out what your goals are, and if need be, we will help you determine them. And then we will guide you. We're going to bring you to coming to the answers to how to achieve them. It's different than a consultant. A consultant would say, here's what you have to do. I'm the expert. Take these steps. A coach might say, well, have you thought about this? Here's an avenue that's worth exploring. Have you thought about that? We're playing more to servant leadership. So that's with the executive coaching part of our side. But that's not the only type of coaching there is. Now there's coaching like, I can help you with your presentation skills. I can help you with the audacity to ask, which is one of our offerings. I can help you with managing difficult conversations. And in that respect, you have to know that we are coming in with a background of doing this so that we've done it before and we know exactly what we're doing. In this case, Henry and I both have been at this for almost 20 years, have served corporate clients, many of them in financial services. So, you know, if it's somebody in your realm, Elliot, that's where things would start popping for you. And you'd say, all right, this sounds like a match. And then you make that introductory call to see if you have rapport. And then next thing you know, you're off to the races.
Okay. Do I have to, if I really want to be successful in my industry, whatever industry that is, do I have to be a book writer?
You do not. You do not have to be a book writer. The reason you would want to write a book is because you've got a perspective. You've got a point of view on something in your industry that has not yet been expressed. That is your positioning as the thought leader. If that point of view has not been expressed, and you are able to share the idea and support it with evidence, you can be a thought leader too. But you do not need that to be a leader in your industry. It's certainly A-okay to push out your special kind of widget, your special kind of service, and if there is the market for it, they're going to buy it, you know, as long as they know about it, of course. And you could live a totally happy, lucrative life. It's only with regards to the ideas and the singularity of your ideas, if you're ready to share them with others, that you got to write a book.
And then what about if I'm not very eloquent and don't have the skill set to write a book or the time, what about a ghostwriter?
Really important question. And I have to tell you that more than half of my clients use ghostwriters. It's A-okay. I got to tell you, it's totally fine. And in fact, it will make the process a lot more digestible, a lot easier on you. Don't, you know, if you're running a business, you've got your own things going on during the day, you don't need the extra stress of all of a sudden having to write well and to do it often. You know, to write a book, it can take you 6, 8, 10 months for sure. And it's a real big process. But if you use a ghostwriter, now it can be as simple as, I'm just sharing my ideas. They're interviewing me and getting the ideas from me. And then they can come up with a draft. I can just redline and tell them which parts I like and don't like. And next thing you know, you've got a book. I suggest it.
Okay. And I want to talk to you about branding a name and what's in a name. You know, when we came up with the name Prosperity Financial Group, we went through all the words with the word capital in them, with the word asset, And we ended up with the word Prosperity Financial Group. We thought it made really good sense. It told people what we did. But then you look at some of the largest and most successful companies throughout American history, and the name means nothing. Amazon, Xerox, Exxon. These names mean nothing at all to somebody. And there's some weird ones coming out of Silicon Valley. So really, how at the end of the day, just how important is a name?
Well, you're not going to like the answer. It is both very important and not as important as you'd think. It is very important because it is a part of your brand. It is the thing that you want to have on the tip of your customers' or prospects' tongues. It's front and center. It's how people are going to remember you first and foremost, based on that name. And the name can say a lot about you. I would argue that Amazon does mean something to somebody, and Xerox and Exxon, I'm sure there was plenty of research that went into them, and there probably is some meaning there. You and I may not know what it is, but they decided on that, and that's because one part of naming can be to use words or phrases that are from a different language, that are from a different industry, that are from archaic languages, you know, that are no longer being spoken. And then it comes down to your emotional response to it. And here's where it gets to, well, it doesn't mean as much as you might think. Because Amazon indicates to me something deep and mysterious, but we know there's gold there. We know that there's something hidden, there's hidden treasure in the Amazon. But you say Nike and you have to know the goddess Nike to know that it means anything. If you don't know the goddess, you just say, I don't know. It's just four letters. It just means sneakers to me. So it is both. And I would spend the time and in some cases the money to get naming done right, because you don't want to change a name midstream.
Okay. So I want to end with a couple questions regarding storytelling. I know that when you're giving speeches, and I give maybe 40 or 50 speeches, public speeches a year, because I also run a charity, A Brighter Day at abrighterday.info. And I weave stories together, and I've learned that many, many years ago. So how important is for a CEO, for an executive, to be able to do storytelling? And what's the storytelling that you teach at Pivotal Twist?
It is incredibly important. And this gets to our wheelhouse. In fact, it is a reason why Pivotal Twist is different than other coaching trainers and different than other consultants building platforms for thought leaders, because we have this background in storytelling. Henry, my partner, and I, we met as actors when we were in our 20s in New York City doing off Broadway theater. We wrote screenplays and plays and directed our fair share of things when we were young men. We know all about how storytelling works, especially performative storytelling, or you might call it narrative storytelling. So what we've done is, as we turned our careers and got into coaching training and digital marketing and branding, we apply storytelling principles to those things. So this gets to the second part of your question. So we live in a world, as you say right now, Elliot, where there is so much noise. There's social media going on. There's, you know, technology has just sped up the amount of inputs that we get, the amount of information that we have to handle. It can be overwhelming. It can be too much. One of, if not the most important thing that can cut through the noise is story. It's as old as humans themselves. It started with cave drawings to tell a story about killing that woolly mammoth. Story cuts through the noise. It grabs people and brings them into what you're doing. So to use story, there's really two main aspects. And by the way, it gets very intricate. We teach this oftentimes, and there's a lot of levels to it, but just for the sake of being concise, there's two main things to keep in mind. One is using a storytelling framework. When you're giving a talk, when you're talking with a client, even when you're writing an email, you can use a storytelling framework. And that basically is starting with something to hook people into what you've got to say, sharing your compelling argument, supporting it, and then ending, concluding with the reason why this is important for the listener. That type of framework, again, that was a very rudimentary way to explain it, but that type of framework will keep people engaged and get them to reply to your email or keep them leaning in when you're giving a talk. The other way to use story is to include stories in your communication. That can be a personal story. It can be a vision story. It can be a brand story. It can be an origin story. But when you use stories within your presentation, within your communication, you're giving people a moment to go, ooh, that's something I didn't know. It helps break up the thrust of what you're communicating and saying, look, I'm human too. And that type of thing nails business.
So Sean, this was great. I really appreciate it. What's the best way for people to reach you?
Love it. Thanks again for having me on, Ellie. It's a real pleasure to be here. People can find me at my website, pivotaltwist.com. They can also email me, Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at pivotaltwist.com.
Great. We've been talking with Sean Perlmutter of Pivotal Twist. He is one of the partners there and founders of the firm. And they are one of the top business consulting firms in the United States, obviously with branding, with platforms and thought leadership, developing thought leaders. And developing leadership through coaching as well. So, Sean, thank you for being with us.
My absolute pleasure.
And we'll see everybody next time. Have a great day.